Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, I'm going to talk about something that, well, it kind of ties into when I was up here last. If you were here, you know what I'm talking about. If you weren't, you can listen to the podcast. But really, it was about God's presence, not the water, right? The water's not the thing that has the power. It's God's presence. Nothing else but God's presence has the power. So it kind of ties into that a little bit. But it's funny, in my life, probably what has most affected my life, influenced me, changed me, shaped me, has been God. You know, Sunday school answer, God. And then my dad. And my dad teaching me through a whole bunch of things. As you can see, he used to throw me in the air and different things like that. And then horizontally as well. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't do that. Not as often. No, I'm kidding. He didn't do that. But I would play sports a lot. And you guys have heard a lot of my sports stories. You guys have heard a lot of my dad's sports stories. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. But one of the things that my dad always said to me, because I would always talk to him, because I was a three-sport athlete growing up. I was baseball, football, basketball. And then there came a time where I was like, I don't know if I want to play football. I don't know if I want to play baseball. Always stuck with basketball. And my dad always looked at me and he said, son, you do what you want, but remember this. The worst thing in the world is wasted talent. And he said, no matter what you do, you give it your all. He's like, I don't care as long as you don't join the cheerleading team. You give it your all. He said, if you do that, there's going to be a lot of horizontal throwing going on. No, I'm kidding. But that brings me to my first scripture verse and kind of what is going to be a main point this morning. If you want to get your Bible out, turn to Acts chapter 1. We're going to read verse 8. It's funny that last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. It's not funny. I shouldn't say it's funny. Pentecost Sunday, last Sunday, awesome, wonderful time. Holy Spirit being poured out, seeing a line of people from there to the door getting prayed for. It was amazing. It was beautiful. I love it. I love Pentecost Sunday. It's wonderful. Not only that, we were celebrating Memorial Day. And I'll tell you what, when we sang that song, that America song, I was just sitting there and I was like, yeah. You know, we might have some bad things. We might have a little bit of chaos here and there, but I'll tell you what, I'm glad to be an American. It's amazing. And military I have the utmost respect for and everything like that, and it was wonderful seeing all those people up here. I was a little bummed though, my buddy Norm Bruce wasn't here to represent the Marine Corps. That's right. Anyway, all right, so Acts chapter 1 verse 8, if you don't have a Bible or don't own a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew rack in front of you. You can grab that and use that this morning. But if you do not own a Bible, you can take that with you. That is yours. It's called holy stealing. You get to use it in your daily life. But we're going to read this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I want to focus on you will receive power. And then if you want, for later, turn to Acts chapter 3, because we're going to get into that a little bit later. But right now, I'm going to talk about wasted talent. We receive this power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And it's not just the speaking in tongues. That's the evidence. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we receive power. It's almost like superpower. Something. It's crazy. It's awesome. It makes me think of my nephew, William. Hey, buddy. I've been teaching him, as a good uncle should, how to punch. And Libby as well. But William cracks me up. Because Libby's a little bit older. She gets the concept of, hey, we only do this right here. You don't do this outside of this. Okay? And so I just put up my hands like this, and he just starts punching them. Libby does this double fist thing and almost falls. She's still learning. But William's got a pretty good punch. He's got some power, man. It's pretty sweet. And then I'll put them up like this, and I'll put my hand to the side, and then they'll kick it, and then they go boom, 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 kick, boom, 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 and they're getting good. I'd be scared. If they're in the nursery with them, hey, look out. Uncle Brock taught him well. But it's funny to me, he's been given this little lesson, or whatever. And of course, whenever I see him, even if my hands aren't up, here he comes. Bam! I just have to be quick enough to, yeah, cover up real quick. But he's using what I've taught. See, he's punching right now. I mean, he's using what he's been taught. He's using what he's been given. Using what he's been given. Acts chapter 3. We're going to read quite a bit of it, this first portion. We're going to pause in between things because there's a lot of little lessons in this, but we're going to get to the main point, but there's some things that go underneath that, like subpoints kind of, I guess that's a technical term. Whatever. Chapter 3, verse 1. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man, crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. We're going to stop right there. So there's this temple, aka church thing, and there's this gate called Beautiful. And this beggar, this guy, he's been lame from birth, can't walk, okay? Since birth. And he gets put there to beg. And people are just filing into church, going past him, and he asks for money. It's funny, I've said this many times about paralytics in the Bible and people with sicknesses and things like that. I compare them to people who are without God, people in their sin. Because people who are lost in sin cannot spiritually walk. They cannot move forward with God. They cannot go towards God because their sin is blinding them. Their sin is covering them up and they have this void in their life. And they ask for all these things to fill that void, like money, maybe like alcohol, maybe like women or men or whatever. They ask for all these things like, hey, I need this, I need this, I need this. Because they think that's going to help. Similar to this guy, he's asking for money, which probably would help considering he's lame. He probably can't work and he probably needs money for food and different things like that, I'm assuming. It's kind of practical thinking. So it might help a little bit, but it's not going to make him walk again. And I feel like so many times even we as Christians do that. We get a problem in our life, we get adversity in our life, and then we think, well, you know, extra bills to pay. Oh, if only I had that money. And you start going out looking for all this money instead of maybe hitting your knees and praying. Not saying that you shouldn't go out and work for it. Hey, we need to do that. Sometimes it's very practical, and we need to just go do something. But prayer, going to God, because we can trust Him. Okay, and then we're going to read on. Let's see. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. I think it'd be funny. Like, I imagine this. Whenever I read stories in the scripture, I always imagine them nowadays. And, you know, running across maybe a homeless person or a beggar. And they're like, hey, yo, you got some money. And you look at them and be like, no, but I got something else. They probably are thinking, oh, well, hey, what do you got? Little did they know that they're in store for this. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. For those that didn't read on or don't know the story, he gets up and walks. And he can walk again. He's no longer lame. There's a couple things about this story that I love and that I want us to look at and learn from in context of wasted talent. Number one, this guy gets put outside the church. Never in. the church. I'm wondering how many lame people we walked by this morning as we entered in. How many people in need, not just physical needs, practical needs, but in need of God, that we drove by, that we walked by, that we overlooked, that maybe they were asking for money, maybe they were asking for food, maybe they're asking for this, and you think, oh, well, here you go, just because that's what they're asking for. In reality, what they need is God. You've been given the gift. You've been given all this. But it's not just for you to soak up. It's not meant to just be wasted. It's meant to be passed on. Peter and John got that. Peter and John got that. That's one of the things I want to look at, is how many people do we walk by? We just walk right by them. Coming, and it's ironic that this place is called Beautiful, even though it's such an ugly thing happening. I wonder, are we a beautiful church? We got all these people on the inside praying and worshiping, but we leave the lame at the door? Because we've been given this gift, the Spirit, His presence, it's been given to us. It's like medicine, right? You get a healthy person and give them medicine, that's kind of a waste. It's the sick people that need medicine. Not that we don't need God's presence, but they need God as well. And we can't just walk by them. And this is not meant to be a condemning message this morning. This is meant to be a challenge, because this is something for me as well. They stop. Sometimes we stop. We do, because we're not all bad people, man. You come across a homeless person or somebody in need, we stop. They ask for money and all these different things. Well, in our mind, it's what they're asking for, so we just go along with it and give them what they're asking for, money or food or any of those things. Well, Peter and John went beyond that and said, you know, I don't have this, but what I do have, I'll give to you. If you ever go by somebody and you stop, but you don't have what they need, do you just keep walking and say, sorry, I don't have that? Or do you give them what you got? Do you give them what you have? Putting in this work, putting in this effort, because it takes effort to do that with people, to sit down with people, to talk to people, to share with people the story of Christ, God, and His love and all these things. Sometimes it takes work. It's not like it just comes free-flowing all the time. Because see, when the Holy Spirit comes down on us, like last week for some of us in this place and some of us previous times and all these different things, the longer that it's been with us, for some reason, I like to call it overburnt wood. We just kind of get used to it. It's like there's a fire, okay? God's presence is this fire. Being a Christian is this fire. And we all are in it for a while. Some of us new, some of us old. And the longer we sit in it, we just keep getting burnt and burnt and burnt. You ever see that piece of wood that's sitting in the fire that's just kind of dark and hardened? And it's not really burning, but it's just sitting there in the fire. You pick that up and you throw it in the woods, it's just going to... But if you take that log or that stick that's on fire and you throw that in the woods, you're burning the place down. We have been given a power. We have been given His presence. We've been given all these things. Yet sometimes it's like we sit here for so long, or we just don't know and we don't believe in the power. Or we don't realize that we have this power, and it just sets. And it sets and becomes an overburnt piece of wood. So when you leave the fire, this church, this place, and you go out into the world, you ain't starting no fires. You're not bringing it with you. You're not using it. But sometimes we get that fire going. We go out in the world, we need to burn the place down. We need to burn this place down. When we gather together, it's power. It's nothing but power. And it can't be wasted. I think of when I used to run cross country. And I think I disobeyed my father because I was a waste. For Sparta, I was one of the better runners. I was really fast. And I would practice during the season, and I'd be first one done, and I was number one on the team. And I was going so fast. This isn't a brag about me. This is an example. And I would run, and I was fast. And I missed state by a few people. And they're like, all right, well, you got to train over the summer in between my sophomore and junior year. And I was like, all right, we have optional practices every morning. I'm like, okay. That summer, I ran a total of 1 mile. I show up to the first day of practice, and I'm still faster than everybody else. If only I had trained. I go to college, and because I go to North Central, they don't have a total like facility, and I join the track team because it's going to get cut, and they need people, so I was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. They have practice twice a week, and you're supposed to run the rest on your own. Well, I had every excuse in the book. Oh, I'm busy. Oh, I got class. I got chapel. I got this. So I never ran except for those 2 days. I show up to the first meet. I run a 4:45 mile. If only I had trained. If only I had worked. If only I had used what was given to me. I was just wasted talent. I wasted it. We've been given this power. That's amazing. We need to use it. And this guy, he's asking for all this money and all these different things. It's funny how sometimes we put so much stock in all these other things. Like I preached about that one time, about the water, when they thought the water was healing people, but really it's the presence of God that heals people. It's funny because like two chapters later, I think it's like in Acts chapter 5, there's this dude that sells. This guy, maybe not dude, I don't know. He sells some land, but he keeps some money to himself under the table. Well, that's communion table. That's wrong. Under the table. And his wife, she knows about it. She doesn't say anything. Well, they show up to give what they got from the land and give it. And he's like, he knows. He knows that they just cheated him. He's like, you didn't just cheat me. You lied to God. You lied to God. You know what happened to that guy? Breathed his last breath right there. Dropped dead. Boom. Because he lied to God. You want to tell me money's going to help you? He had money. It didn't help him. His wife, who knew about it, was asked about it. Boom. Last breath. Dropped dead. They had money. That didn't help them. God's the one with the power. It's by His grace, by His mercy, and by His love that we are able to breathe. That we are able to wake up every morning and have a new day. That yesterday is yesterday. We don't have to worry about it. And we can live today for today and for His name with the power that He's given us. And we maybe today can see a lame person walk. We can see a blind person see. We can have the deaf hear. Addictions broken. Depression gone. Insecurities gone. It's because of that power. Well, that power has been given to us. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will see power. It's funny, there's something called like gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there's the gift of salvation, and my dad preached about it this past Christmas, and I've preached about it because I got it from him. Don't tell. And it's called a gift for a reason. You don't just leave a gift under the Christmas tree. You don't leave it next to the birthday cake. You tear it open. I don't care how old you are. You're excited for gifts. Don't you dare lie to me. Just because you're an adult, yes, don't act excited, but I know you are. You tear it open. And then whatever it is, you don't leave it sit on a shelf. You use it for its intended purpose. Peter and John, filled with the Holy Spirit. Chapter after this, they're in front of the Sanhedrin. They're on like trial. And they're wanting to kill him. They don't want him to preach the gospel. They don't want him to do this stuff. And it says, being filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter said. And he goes on to talk. And he goes on to speak. And they get out of there alive. Because he used the power. So many times I've done this. And I've had people do it for me, and I've seen people do it for other people. We pray for somebody, and they come up for healing, and we're like, well, we pray for healing, God. Restore them. But God, let your will be done, and give us peace with whatever result. And not that that's wrong. Don't get me wrong. But you know what Peter did? He said, walk! He didn't say, well, I might have something to help you. And God, whatever happens, we will still praise you, but I hope you make this guy walk. No, he said, in the name of Jesus, walk! Because he believed in the power, he had faith in the power, and he trusted in God that it was going to happen. When did we get to a point where we just think, well, maybe and maybe not? Have faith. Have faith. Believe in the power that's been given to you. Use it. You know what's really sad to me is a little bit later in the verses it talks about after he gets up and walks, he starts dancing, praising, and worshiping, and he goes into the temple. And they were all amazed. Here's the thing. I don't think they were amazed that God healed them. I think they were amazed to see a lame man walk. And I'm wondering how many of us in here would be amazed to see a lame man walk when he gets prayed for, like, because it never happens. It should be happening way more often. We should not be amazed by that. We should give praise and glory to God and be amazed by Him, but not amazed that it happened. I'm so thankful that at 20 years old, I've seen the things that I've seen. Scoliosis, dude with a hunchback, healed, standing up straight. Girl with a crushed ankle, shattered, ran over by a golf cart. Pray for her. I'm shooting hoops with her afterwards. Another girl, broken ankle. She's shooting hoops with us. Dude with torn ACL, MCL ligaments in his knee. He's dancing. Cancer, gone. I mean, and that's not because of me. It's because of Him. And it's because of the Holy Spirit. It's because of the power that He's given us. But here's the deal. Is I believe it can happen. I have faith that it can happen. We need to have faith. We need to believe in this power. It resides in us. We need to use it. Because there's nothing worse in this world than wasted talent. I know. Nothing worse. Are we a beautiful church? Beautiful. Not like, oh, hey, it's pretty. Because it is. We know that. The kitchen's looking good too. But are we leaving the lame at the door? That kind of beautiful. Or are we using the power that's been given to us? Man, it just, I get so excited. Knowing that I have this power. That God has given this to us. Because I scroll through Facebook and I see these videos. This guy who, he had like this car accident. And he gets paralyzed. And it's in high school. Well, at his high school graduation, it wasn't perfect and he wasn't great at it. But for his graduation, with a little bit of help, he walked across the stage. Now, I don't know if anybody prayed for him. I don't know if God healed him or whatever it was. But I'm just saying, seeing someone in such need and seeing that need met, man, I love it. It's the best. It's beautiful. Seeing their face light up. Another video I saw, this woman who was deaf hears her husband's voice for the first time. Imagine that magical moment. And I'm a hopeless romantic, so I kind of, you know, get all gushy at that stuff. It can happen. Last week, I loved seeing people who were in need and they were lined up. Man, it was a long line. And they were being prayed for. I don't know what it is, but it seemed like there was more people that time than there were at any other times that we've had. I don't know what it was. Maybe it's finally you got to the point and realized that you need God and nothing else is going to work, and you got so desperate that you needed God. I love this quote. I forget who said it, and I'm probably going to even say it wrong. But it says, I would rather win ugly than lose pretty. You know, basketball games and all that stuff, it ain't got to look fancy. I remember my dad. We went to an open gym here in Sparta. They started calling him Joe Dirt. For those who have seen his curly long hair when it gets, and it's just straight back, and it was kind of a mullet, and they started calling him Joe Dirt. It was because they couldn't stop him. This bigger guy at the time, my dad, he comes down, and it was the saddest, maybe not the saddest, but one of the ugliest looking, most fundamental layups. And I was like, what? There was no spin on the ball. There was no up and under. There was no, like, crossover. It was just, I'm going to go through everybody in my way and make a layup. And it worked. Time and time and time again. But at the end of the game, we won. Screens? When you set a pick for somebody, you know, you just stand there. I didn't know screens could look ugly. But they were so fundamental and they worked. And he laid a guy out. I mean, he didn't like run up and like, he just stood there. And this guy, this was a big guy. And he hits my dad and he slams the floor. I started laughing until the guy got up and said, Joe Dirt, you got something to say to me? And just started going on. And it's like, my dad's just like, I'm playing basketball. What are you talking about? I thought the guy was about to punch my dad. I was like, dude, it's not his fault. You can't take a screen. It was ridiculous. But see, it didn't matter how it looked. We win the game. Your spiritual life, the spiritual battle that you're in, quit looking pretty. Quit it! I'm not saying that God can't move to that. But I'm saying God rewards faith. Just, you know that ugly cry? It's different than when just tears are falling down your face. It's when you have been bawling and your eyes are all like blotched and it looks like there's like red dots everywhere and there's snot like in your mouth. Because it just, you can't, no matter how much you sniff and there's not enough Kleenex in the world, it just smushes it everywhere. Sorry, I'm getting graphic. But that ugly cry, just because you're tired. You're tired of the addiction getting you every time. You're tired of feeling that dependency. Of not being able to bed at night because you need your fix. Not being able to go out with people because, oh, well, hold on, just let me get my fix real quick. Your family falls to the wayside because you need to get your fix. That pain, and you hit one of your moments, and it just hurts so bad, and you're like, I don't want that anymore. I want to go out with my friends. I want to be there for my family. I don't want to be dependent on this anymore. And I'm not just talking about drugs, because I've had my own addictions, and it wasn't drugs. I know what it's like. I know what it's like. 5-year porn addiction. Staying awake every night. Can't sleep. Being scared, am I going to fall into it again? No, I got to get past it. going to church on Wednesdays and feeling like if I go to the altar, people are going to look at me and be like, wait a second, that's the pastor's kid. He got some issues going on. What's going on? Better run and tell his daddy. It's happened more times than I can count. But you know what? It finally got to a point where I was done. I hit one of my sober moments, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. And I ran to that altar, and I bawled the ugliest cry you've ever seen. Because I was done. I was tired of it. And God, with His power, rescued me. He can do the same for you. And once He's done rescuing from it, He's going to give you that power so then you can go to other people and help there. Because that's what it's about. We don't waste the talent. We take the talent, we go and invest it. We don't just go bury it in a hole. Parable of the talents. We go and we turn it from one into two, from two into four, from four into eight. And it keeps going and going and going. You know, it did make me happy to see that lineup of people. But I refuse to be satisfied. We got a whole nother aisle over here. And we got so much time on a Sunday. We got two services, two aisles. And we got Sunday nights, two aisles. We got Wednesdays, two aisles. We got a fellowship hall. We got a youth room. We got a kids' church room. We got the parking lot. It's summer. Why not outside? Because we need to get desperate. We need it. Not only that, there's some of us in here. We need to quit wasting our talent. And we need to start using it. Need to start using it. Using the power that's been given to us to help other people. And not just saying, well, maybe, maybe not. But proclaiming it in faith. There's this guy. I'm not a big fan. He's in the NBA. His name is Paul Pierce. And I don't like him because I'm a LeBron fan. And they don't get along. But anyway, in the playoffs this year, there's this guy, Derrick Rose from Chicago. I don't like him either because he's not LeBron. I'm sorry. Just understand, I feel about LeBron the way that you feel about the Packers. And D. Rose shoots a buzzer beater, banks it, goes in. And he's asked afterwards, did you call bank? And he said, no. For those that don't know, in basketball, banks are trash unless you call it, which means you were trying to bank it. Otherwise, it's like you just chucked it and hoped that it hit the backboard and went in. It's kind of lucky. Anyway. And then Paul Pierce hits a buzzer beater and banks it. And they ask him the same question. It's literally like the same week, maybe the same day or a day later. And I don't know why I looked at you. You don't. Well, after last night playing basketball with you, you were like amazing. Anyway. And they ask him, did you call bank? Oh, this makes me so mad, but partially because I love it. But I don't like him. He says, no, I called game. I'm like, ooh, you cocky son of a gun. I like cocky players. LeBron, Colin Kaepernick. Seeing the pattern. Anyway, I call game. We need to call game. Satan ain't going to win this battle. Over my life, over my neighbor's life, I'm calling game right here, right now. And I'm proclaiming it in faith. I'm not saying, well, it might go in, it might not. I don't know. I'm going to give it my best shot. No. Get it done. Get it done. Because you've been given the power. You've been given the power. We need to quit wasting it. The thing is, worship team, if you want to come on up, I know you had a song on the bottom of that list, and I want to do that one. If that is all right. We need to quit wasting it. Quit wasting the power that's been given to us. A little side note, it also says we need to be witnesses, so go and share it with people. Plain and simple, that's a sermon in 30 seconds. Go and share it with people.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.